live from the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
5 o'clock hour, Cofield and Company. Griffin is steering the ship. Raider cut day, NFL cut day. Sucks. Some surprising cuts. We'll get to the full list in just a couple minutes, but was the most surprising, and it shouldn't be, guess, I'm already answering the question. Was the most surprising Cam Miller, who they picked in the sixth round, quarterback?
I don't think it was surprising. I just think that it's the most prominent name, so it stands out that he got cut. The other thing, maybe it's surprising only because AOC, they bring in Kenny Pickett, so now there's only two notable names, right?
Just two names, yeah. Period. Yeah. You got to have a quarterback on the practice squad. They must have some other names in mind, and that they're willing to risk Cam Miller getting plucked before he can get to the practice squad. Sadly, there were a couple of media members who really loved the Tom Brady. Man, he recommended this Cam Miller. Really liked him. Really liked him. Do you think they called up TB12 and are like, sorry, Tom. No, you loved him. But you're just an owner. I'm thinking they're going to try to get him on the practice squad.
He's got to clear waivers. And when he does, he will be on the practice squad.
But I have seen some other quarterbacks who have been cut who I would – well, it depends on what you look at the practice squad for, right? Is it purely developmental?
See what happens.
Right? Or do you want someone who's got a little more of a veteran presence, is a little further along in terms of being an NFL quarterback?
Well, I don't think you're going to get that since you brought in Kenny Pickett to be QB2.
I think some guys are like, hey, I just want a job somewhere.
Okay, well then, yeah. If there's someone available, I mean, it's a wait and see approach.
Cam Miller seems like a cool kid, but I mean, he's not Italian, and we don't get to fist pump if you know the Raiders get Tommy DeVito. That'd be a much more fun story. Wouldn't you love that,
Tommy?
Would you love that?
Absolutely not.
Hey over there.
It's just going to be a bunch of Italians in Las Vegas. Raider fans.
Hold on. There are already a bunch of Italians in Las Vegas, and they are over there.
Forget about it. Some might say they used to run this town, but that's a whole other story.
Some would say. Not accurate at all, right, Willie? Some would say.
You embellish it.
Be careful. I got an email about 10 years ago because we were talking about Tony the Ant, and someone's like, Spilatros, they're still here. Be careful, young man.
And from since then?
I buttoned it up. That was it. I buttoned it up. Hey, if the Spilatros, the Fertittas, let me just start naming all the Italian families here. They want Tommy Cutlets in town. Let's do it.
Make a call to Mark.
Bring the kid in. Give him a shot.
That's pretty solid. Nice job. All right, more of the Raider cut list in a couple of minutes. You had a question before the show. Who is Sam Houston State?
Lot of background. I did some research.
I want to hear this. Everyone out in the audience should know. We will have a conversation with Phil Longo, who is the head coach of SHSU over there.
It's a team that has a little bit of a background, so it's got a little bit of I used this word earlier. It's got a little bit of chutzpah for its home opener, right? Bearcats came into the season winning 13 of their previous 17 after starting their venture into FBS with an 0-8 start in 2023. After last week's loss, 5-6 all-time in the month of August. But this is a team program that's used to success. It's reached postseason play in 10 of the last 12 seasons in which it was eligible at the FBS and FCS levels. Last year's 10 wins, its first winning season at the FBS level, and 14th in the last 15 overall. So again, used to winning, very successful program. Steps up to the caliber of play. How about this? Last year's team put together 6-0 records when leading at the half and in one-score games. You mentioned him yesterday, I think, briefly, Hunter Watson.
Yeah, quarterback.
He was a JUCO national champion before arriving at Sam Houston State. Talked about the rushing defense. This kid ran for more than 100 yards from the quarterback spot 3 times last season. First Bearcat quarterback in program history to have 3 100-yard rushing games in the same season. Basically, going to – where's this place at?
Huntsville, Texas.
Huntsville, Texas, against a program that is used to winning and is going to be looking to bounce back in its home opener, UNLV better come prepared. A little background there.
Yeah. First road trip, and I know everyone assumes that road trips are easy. I'm not talking about on the field, all the logistics. Got to make sure that goes smoothly. Barry Odom was maniacal, it's a compliment, about having everything buttoned up when they went on the road. What was it like in Utah? Actually, did you travel much? You must not. You probably early on were not on the travel squad, were you?
No, I was a freshman.
Yeah.
So I didn't do much of the traveling, but a couple of my buddies actually traveled with the team. And very military style, you know, like you said, keeping everything buttoned
up.
You meet up at the exact time when you're supposed to be. You're in the hotel. You're getting your snack. Everything on the dot.
Oh, we had, I don't want to name names, but we had a member of the Learfield staff who had problems with showing up on time. They leave. They're not staying around.
I think you brought this up.
Yeah, they don't stay around. One of the guys, and he's going to be a guest on the Dan Mullen radio show tomorrow, one of the guys who, with Odom's crew, who I felt like was one of the generals of the travel, was Hunky Cooper. I don't know if he has the same role. I guess we're going to find out. But Hunky was a big part of making sure everything went smoothly. Mm-hmm. And it did. It did. There's little things, man. Like, just, hey, you land, the rooms better be ready. Are all the bags there? We got to get over to the stadium. Something you don't think about, like, what's the food? When's the food? All that stuff. You know, you don't set it up the right way. The hotel
F's it up. The itinerary is very important.
It is really important. And if it gets jacked up, that's a problem. So, first road trip.
You're so all set.
That'll make it interesting. Well, I don't eat the team meals, so, you know, I already, with Broadcaster Bites, I'm the Hunky Cooper of the crew, of the Learfield crew.
Nevertheless.
I sent my recommended restaurant was sent out 3 weeks ago for this trip.
Ah, to who? To whom?
Caleb Herring.
You two have
the voice of the Rebels.
You two usually do a restaurant recap the following week.
Yes.
During his hit.
There's a lot of pressure, too. Oh. I actually feel pressure that Caleb enjoys the meal.
I'm still
he is very testy.
I am still extremely salty with you from a couple of years ago.
With what?
You were on a trip to San Diego, and you were, I don't remember if it was on the show or what, but you were taking suggestions, and you wanted to know.
Yeah, I blew you off.
And, well, I reached out to somebody, the mayor of a small town.
Oh, I didn't know you reached out to him. Like, hey, they're going to be coming in to see you.
The mayor of El Centro. And he said, here's the 3 spots that they should go to for the authentic Mexican, the tacos, the blah, blah, blah. I sent you. And you're like, yeah, I didn't go. I'll go next time. Still haven't gone.
Well, this year's next time and last time.
I'm not looking it up.
No, I need the names again.
No, you find the
Come
text.
Come on, Willie.
You search the text thread and find it yourself.
I probably can, actually. I'm really a hoarder, big time. So we talked to Brandon Marcello from CBS Sports. Mm. Go read his story on UNLV and Dan Mullen. And some of the stuff he talked about in the story in terms of Mullen's attitude versus when he was at Mississippi State in Florida. We've seen it. You saw it postgame. This is a different guy. Doesn't mean he's a lesser football coach, but, man, he was tightly wound from what we saw from a distance. He is way different now. He's different than all the other coaches I dealt with. Now, that may change. You start losing games. Yep, right out of the gates. Positive, positive, positive. And some fans may not like that. But I bet you the players do. But it's not a case where it's like, oh, players, coach, a little bit loose. Guys don't respect him. They're not afraid of him. I think there's respect there. But, man, after a game like that one, that was a struggle against North Dakota State. He didn't come in, you know, throwing – did I say I North Dakota? Idaho State. He didn't come in, you know, all pissed off. Short answer.
Really hung up on Cam Miller, aren't you?
I like that story a lot. But part of Marcelo's story said just a lot less pressure now out of the SEC, where it's just, it's crazy. He said the internal pressure to win is still there at UNLV, but the outside roar that constantly surrounded him in the SEC kind of seems like white noise out here in the desert of Las Vegas. 10.5-point spread.
I'm going over. I like it over.
Okay. Do you have the total in front of you?
60.5, if the last I looked. Home opener. We just talked about their quarterback. What's his name? Hunter Watson.
He can run it. And they ran it. And Alt McCaskill, who is well-traveled, was a superstar recruit back in the day for the Cougars of Houston. Went to Colorado, injured Arizona State, didn't really break out. Now he's back home, or he's back home in Texas. So he's a dangerous guy. 11 carries for 72 yards. So solid team, good road opponent. Do you have a best bet this week?
I do. I really like Tennessee.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just reacting to react like that.
Just because.
Really? No Nico, huh? You trust this hypo guy.
Well, what I'm worried more about is what Syracuse can do without Kyle McCord. I know they brought in a kid from LSU, but it's a patchwork offense. He's going to be behind somewhat of a new line. Not sure about his weapons, and I just don't know if Syracuse's offense is going to be able to keep up.
The winner of the job, because you're right, they did bring in an LSU dude at Syracuse. He is runner-up for now on the job to a kid named Steve Angeli, who was the kid that we saw in relief for Notre Dame in the playoffs. Mm. But that doesn't mean he can play as a full-time starter. So
right.
Kyle McCord was awesome.
He was.
Just got cut in the NFL, but I think he's going to make it at some point. He was a really good – when he got to Syracuse, he had already played a lot. Steve Angeli hasn't really played, so
– And there were some games that Syracuse lost that they should – if their defense served him a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I mean, he has a couple of rough spots, but he really – I remember, if I'm not mistaken, it was last year. Yeah. Jordan went back there to visit his mom, and he went to the game. And I was like, dude, you're going to about to enjoy it. And I can't remember what game it was, but he lit it up. He was texting me the entire game. He's like, this guy's unbelievable. So, yeah.
Tennessee should have 100,000 plus. That stadium's crazy. They're laying 14. You're going to lay the 14, huh?
Yep. Nyland? Neyland?
Neyland Stadium.
Neyland Stadium? Yeah. Absolutely.
Right there on Some River.
102,000 people. It's one of the greatest college atmospheres. Lay it.
Really? Okay. Josh Heupel. The complaint from Team Nico was transfer portal. Heupel didn't get the job done in getting enough weapons on the O-line at receiver. Joey Aguilar is now the quarterback. They basically did a trade with UCLA. He's the quarterback. He's 24 years old. Put up good numbers at App State.
You know what he was known as at App State? Joey Bag of Donuts.
I don't think he was. I don't feel like a guy named Aguilar is going to be a bag of donuts. You might be right.
Maybe a bag of conchas.
I will. Let me reach out to my App State source.
Okay.
And we'll see if he was nicknamed Joey Bag of Donuts. Well, that's reason enough. I mean, if that's his nickname, that's reason enough to lay 14. That's a fun name.
Better than Tommy Cutlets.
No, nothing's better than Tommy Cutlets.
That's a good name. That's a staple.
Griffin thought about it. I could tell over the last 5 minutes you thought about it, about the Raiders getting Tommy Cutlets. You're like, hey, you know what?
Yeah, I've just sitting here.
Golfino Company needs this.
I was sitting here wondering, what am I going to do when all these Italians start coming out of the woodwork, and then they're just real boisterous.
This has become a very racial
Raiders.
The ethnicity that's taking
place. We have been complaining about celebrity quarterbacks in the case of Shedeur Sanders. Now you get a bigger celebrity than Shedeur. Okay, he's not really a bigger celebrity. Can I finish up the fried chicken conversation for about a half an hour ago?
Sure.
Which I'm totally with you on the crunchy fried chicken.
Yeah.
That you need it. Mm. We had Bojangles in the building today. A Apparently, Clay Baker really liked it. He got a write-up on social media right away.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. They're new to the market. One store, I think, so far, Blue Diamond and Rainbow.
It's right by my house.
You got to go and try it.
Why? I tried it today. I don't need to try it again.
You had one. Didn't you have like one tender?
No.
Oh, you had multiple tenders. That's why there was... Oh, wait. I meant to say there was only one tender left. You know, it's funny. When I saw Clay's video, big pieces of juicy fried chicken. I go in there. There's greens and like 75 biscuits.
Wait a minute.
It is always too late in the day for Cofield and Company.
Wait a minute. Clay Baker's picture was actual chicken?
It looked like pieces of fried chicken, yeah.
Oh, no. There was only tenders when I got here.
That's Lotus right there. That's Lotus. That's the drama in the LBC.
You saw tenders on the table when you got in?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one tender.
I saw, I think, a biscuit maybe. Maybe some like honey packets.
And then if you look off, we look at the table when we walk in, but off to the side near the garbage can, there was like a big... like shopping bags of Bojangles with boxes, and they were all empty. So the business side came through and cleaned it up.
Now, the word is they're going to have eventually like 20 in the area.
It's very good. Not bad.
Might take a while to build it out, but yeah. I had it when I lived in North Carolina in Charlotte briefly for a job, and I had it down there more than a few times. It's good.
Of course, now, I mean, I'm going to have to put in some extra work.
Is that right? Because you had two tenders? What, do you got to run tonight?
I might. Maybe I had three.
That's where all the tenders went.
Griffin! He had three tenders! I think there was like half for each of us. Unbelievable. You know what? I wasn't going to eat it anyway, so I'm glad you ate it.
The last time I was here and it was in here, there was an F-ton, as I would normally say. There was a lot. And I went, I think I came in to talk to Griffin, and I came back, and I'm not saying who. But somebody had packed up a bundle.
Oh, come on!
It said,
it never stops here.
It said, I'm taking this home for the kids.
A bundle?
And I looked and I was like, for the kids? I said, well, what about the employees? And they're like, well, did you want some? It's like, no, you got it packed up now. Take it
I
home.
Wish.
Take
I
it
hope.
Home and feed your kids.
I'm sorry. I hope Adam Hill is listening right now. He's got to be rolling over in his grave. Because this brings up a couple of old stories. You get the reference.
He's in his grave.
Yeah, they're always alive when I say rolling over his grave. We've had a couple incidents here where we had a client specifically bring in a bunch of pizzas for Cofield and Company, and we noticed that someone who had left at 1 o'clock drove back to the station after their workday was done at 4 and took like a box of pizza. The other one was there was another chicken joint. Raising Cane's brought in like giant tins. I mean, like,
I know,
big chafing dishes.
Yes, that's how they do their family packs.
We didn't get here in time, and I was so angry. There were probably 32-ounce cups of cane sauce. I drank the cane sauce the entire show.
You just
I was like, you're making me do this.
You sipped on it.
It was good, but, you know, the chicken is kind of a big part of it. So
that sauce is pretty – it's good,
it's
but
thick.
It's thick.
Yeah, it's like a shake.
Wow.
Yes.
I wonder what you were doing during commercial breaks.
Cane sauce is good.
Well, you know.
Now,
I was slightly bigger.
Great. Would you? There's a kid on TikTok that he does these challenges where his followers say, go to this and ask for this off the secret menu, or go to this and order this, but switch it with. And they come up with these concoctions, does it. Then when he does it on video, and then in the comments, he picks one of the new suggestions. So would you consider getting a Bojangles combo and then stopping at Cane's and getting the sauce?
I don't mix my chickens or my mentions of chicken places. I usually separate them by a couple minutes. Would I do it? You know, I don't know what Bojangles sauce is, so I want to give them a fair shot.
There were a ton of sauces in there.
And we'll give them a fair shot.
Same type of sauce?
I didn't see that. All I saw was like barbecue, ranch, buffalo, stuff like that.
I'm getting out of this. Did you see, speaking of food items, did you see Dr. Pepper, I think, is in real trouble? Why would they do this? Now, I think Wendy's has a pretty good, I can't remember all the good social media accounts. There's some really good ones. Dr. Pepper, the headline is here, Dr. Pepper viciously attacks Shedeur Sanders. One social media post I found said racist. Another one just hashtag boycott. According to Griffin, if you want to tell the story, Griffin.
Yeah, tell the story.
Oh, yeah. So.
What is this newest ad for Dr. Pepper's Fanville?
Yeah, so the ad features a ginormous cartoon-like slide in the commercial with two guys watching it and a third up there going down the slide. And then the two gentlemen on the fans of Fanville, they're talking to each other and they're saying, oh, look, our quarterback's going down the draft slide. And then the other one comments, wow, I've never seen somebody slide down so far, so fast.
Oh, boy.
So basically,
got trouble.
A shot at the Taylor Swift of the NFL.
The Shadura Maniacs are going to go crazy over this one.
How is it racist?
Dude, it's social media.
Oh. Huh?
We had Steve Kim was telling us, and Steve never embellishes. Steve Kim was telling us yesterday that Kevin Stefanski is being labeled that way for supposedly not giving Shadur a fair chance. Which, hey, everybody, if you didn't see yesterday, Kenny Pickett on his way out. So guess who's being given a better chance than he had a week ago? Shadur Sanders, because now they got three. Now it's Dylan Gabriel and Shadur Sanders who get to battle it out in practice probably for the next at least 6 weeks, unless Flacco goes down earlier. But it's Flacco. I'm going to be really careful because I don't want to get in the crosshairs that Dr. Pepper's in. I'm going to say Flacco 1A, Shadur 1A-, and number three quarterback is Dylan Gabriel.
I don't think that you, first of all, have to worry. I don't think Dr. Pepper's on your hot on your path.
Well, it wasn't Dr. Pepper. It was the critics of Dr. Pepper.
Oh,
after they viciously attacked Shadur Sanders for having a draft slide.
I think you're more
slide.
Like a Fresca or Tab.
I am a Tab guy. I'm a Tab guy. Worst quarterback room in the league, as Sammy P said. Do you agree with that?
No.
We don't have to go through every quarterback room, but Flacco, Gabriel, and Shadur. New Orleans at the top is Spencer Rattler.
That's my
with
worst.
Tyler Shug. And I didn't see if Jake Haner got dumped today. Former Fresno quarterback.
I just got the email from the NFL, but it's a process to jump in to find out. I have every transaction done today. Would you like me to check?
No.
Okay.
We'll leave it like that. Okay. Can you give me the Raiders list? Because there were a lot of people who were suggesting that some veterans go instead of some young guys, and in the end I saw some young guys getting cut and some veterans sticking around. There's a very intriguing mix on the defensive line. So who do the Raiders get rid of?
Zach Carter. Off the line or just in general?
In general.
Zach Carter.
Give me the position.
Chris Collier. Oh, defensive tackle Zach Carter. Running back Chris Collier. Defensive end Jafari Harvey. Wide receiver Shedrick Jackson. Linebacker Matt Jones. Defensive tackle Trevin May. Guard Antonio Maffey. Running back Sincere McCormick.
Been around for a while.
Gone.
Former UTSA guy.
Gone. Wide receiver Tommy Mellott. Quarterback.
Wait, what? They got rid of the other FCS guy too?
Yeah.
Come on. Both Cam Miller and Mellott?
I'm going to botch this one.
That's Julian Edelman.
You're better with the defensive end, Ovi Oluhofu. Tight end, Carter Runyon. Wide receiver, Justin Shorter. Offensive lineman, Laki Tassi.
No.
Safety, Trey Taylor. Cornerback, Greedy Vance.
Stop for a second. So Laki Tassi is the 6'6", 370 guy who's a rugby player.
Mm-hmm.
They gotta put him on the practice squad.
I would think so. He was actually a good story, like a good human interest story.
The Raiders, Jordan Mailava.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think you got the last name correct, but close enough. Close enough. Yeah. And he's turned into a starting tackle in the NFL.
One of the best.
And he's small. As compared to Laki Tassi, who's 6'6", 365. But I would guess that the Eagles tackle is a better singer. What a beautiful voice he has. Look that up. Very impressive.
Can't wait for the holiday season to play that album.
You're on to something there, because the Eagles actually put out a holiday record every year. Record, whatever. MP3 now. I'm old. And he's the featured guy.
Can we just go back to Kasingles? Do you remember a Kasingles?
I don't remember a Kasingle.
We used to go down to Odyssey Records. And you'd buy, if you were a DJ, you'd buy 12-inch records. So it was the single with the club version, the radio version, the 8-inch, the blah, blah, blah. Then out of nowhere, instead of just buying the cassette tape of the album from which the song was on, they decided to come out with Kasingles. So the same way you could buy a 12-inch to DJ in the clubs or wherever we were DJing, you could get Kasingles. So there, instead of the cassette tape that you're paying $14.99 for, you'd pay $4.99 for a Kasingle. There you go.
Never heard of that before.
Sure.
A vast music background. I do not.
Odyssey Records, great place on Oakey back in the day.
Rest of the list, you got about four guys left.
Tackle Dalton Wagner, safety JT Woods, then released. Those were waived. Released Alex Bachman, safety Terrell Edmonds, tight end Albert. I'm not trying it. I'm not even messing with it.
Yeah.
Kid from Missouri. And then reserve injured designated to return Lonnie Johnson Jr.
Yeah.
He came over. So, yeah, safety. He's got some experience. So,
all right.
There you go. That's today's transactions. We did get a text message that said, I believe it'll be addressed tomorrow. Spy Tech will be available. And then Thursday's Petey.
Petey's Pirates. All right, they do have a situation with Charles Snowden, who got popped in December for a DUI. Could lead to a suspension by the NFL, so might need some defensive line fortification down the road.
A little tight, sorry.
All right. Stretching it out.
I got popped today.
Did you really?
It's on my IG story. You can did you see it, Riff? Oh yeah.
Wait a second.
You got popped.
We're doing a radio show.
With the number of topics that we have touched on, listen.
That's great. You please make that a bit on the show. Send in a story every day so that, or whatever, whenever you're on, be like, I got a great story. And then I try to delve into it, and you're like, exclusive content for social media. Can't tell you.
No,
I'll give you a little tease. All right, Willie. Thanks, man. I mean, that is smart. Some of the best stuff we have on the show, you can't get on the show.
Right.
Willie's exclusive.
Just go
like, on. We have, and this is my fault because I haven't talked to the Vast Sound crew about doing this, but your series with WM. Is all web-based. We haven't had any of the audio on the show, which I apologize for, because it is a great bit. Are you going to – how many questions do you have?
It started with like 5 or 6, but I limit it. I go to 10, and that's it, because it goes by. 10 right. is good because they're one-word answers.
Yep.
And then I go in – there's a lot of, oh, man, that's a great question.
I don't know.
So I edit.
You know what?
I tie it together.
I got to say – one, are you going to keep going with the who do you want to slap from slap fighting?
100%. And then so that way, once the WNBA season's over, I'll go back and I'll get all the ones that asked, does pineapple belong on pizza? I'll ask, what's your go-to karaoke song? So now I'll have a best of You Don't Say, but it'll just be a snippet. And then I'll have one where it's like, here's what they said about power slap, and then put them all together. So in case you missed it.
I really got annoyed early in the season when Caitlin Clark was viciously attacked by Marina Mabry. She was actually pretty nice on your video. Kind of likable.
Marina's awesome.
Kind of likable. I don't like her. But I like her a little more now. She was, well, here's what I like.
She's very cool.
Here's what I like when they can react pretty quickly and they have fun with it.
Yeah.
I have to say, and maybe it's because she's had to do a lot of media, Paige Beckers was kind of like a little tight.
She's done so many of them.
Yeah.
It's one of the things, like,
asked her about slap fighting and who she wants to slap?
No. They've done rapid fire. Like, they do it on the orange carpet at the All-Star game. They did it. So she's done a ton of them. But she was cool to do. It was nice of her. I mean, she's requested by a lot of people. So their PR staff's one of the best ones. Phoenix, so I got Satu Sabli. She's the most recent one. And then I got one coming out this week on Aces rookie Aaliyah Nye. She did one for me.
Where do people find it?
TikTok or Instagram. Willie G. Ramirez.
Giveaway time. UNLV is taking on UCLA. Big football game. They want to get 40,000 plus, maybe 50,000 at Allegiant. 5 o'clock start, Saturday, September 6th. Bruins are in town to take on your Rebels. Ticketmaster.com. You can get your tickets there. We've got a pair right now. Griffin's going to hook you up. Call our 7-364-1100, 364-1100.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So we'll have more UNLV UCLA tickets for the next home game throughout the week. Reminder, Dan Mullen radio show is tomorrow, special day. It's usually on Thursdays, 7 o'clock, but it's on a Wednesday because they have a Friday game. Dan Mullen radio show. Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo. I had a chance earlier today to catch up with the head coach of Sam Houston State, the opponent on the road this week. Phil Longo is the head coach. Coach Phil has a lot of experience working with the offense at Wisconsin and Ole Miss, big-time recruiter. He was an assistant at Sam Houston State. He took the job this year because Casey Keeler left to go to Temple. Well, they're 0-1 on the season, played well for three quarters, got a little boat race in the fourth quarter, and started off the conversation with Coach Longo asking him, hey, what was your general read on game one against Western Kentucky?
I think everybody's concerned about playing a clean game from a penalty and a turnover standpoint. You know, we had a turnover defensively, special teams-wise. We were good on the penalty front. Offensively, we had a couple free snappers that we weren't happy about. But at the end of the day, it just came down to executing on a few plays here that could have helped us during the course of the game. And so that the emphasis this week is we just want to execute a little bit better, and we know we're going to need to do that to play a team as good as UNLV.
How challenging was playing this early in week zero?
Well, I typically don't mind. You know, I'm not sure why we're playing a conference opener in week zero. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but it is a little more difficult, you know, in this new climate with such little time to get to know players. You know, all these teams are so transient now. You know, I've said this 100 times this spring. It's this sport now has become what can you assemble this year and can you go win with it? It still, I think, comes down to the relationship your players have with your coaches and vice versa. And, you know, obviously anytime you lose a week or you lose any time, you would have to develop those relationships, it makes it a little bit more difficult. So bringing 33 new guys in June and going to battle with them on August 23rd is certainly a challenge.
Wow. 33 in June. That is crazy. UNLV over the course of, two recruiting periods changed over the roster to like the tune of 57 players, but 33 is crazy. The other thing you had to deal with last week is, hey, travel and kind of getting everything cohesive and being ready to go is never easy when you're new at a program, and then you got to do that at a gate. So how did the travel go? Did you feel good about all the logistics with travel?
You know what? It was it's just how you handle it. I think our staff handles it the right way, and the players follow suit. And I don't think the travel for us was really an issue. We had a good trip, good business trip, handle ourselves, you know, the way we needed to. We prepared at the hotel the way we needed to, and didn't have any hiccups on the travel. The support staff and the girls and everybody handled this thing. Our GM handled it really well, and so that was really a non-issue. And I would tell you on the last topic, we actually have 55 new, much like UNLV. We brought January and then 33 more in June.
You guys are like JUCO coaches now. Phil Longo's with us, Sam Houston coach. UNLV taking on Sam Houston on the road. Tell me about your quarterback. Does he look like he had a pretty decent opener? He's got a lot of experience. I don't know if he's the perfect match for the system you run, but tell us about Hunter Watson.
Well, I think he gets a bad rap throwing the football. He does a really good job throwing the ball. We had some key drops on some key downs, not bad throws. And so I think he's very underrated as a passer. I think that gets overshadowed, obviously, because he's an athlete, he's a talented runner. I do think he's throwing the ball better than he did last year. I think the system actually helps him. I think he's in a system now that maybe we work on it a little bit more, and it's a little bit more of a priority than it was. And so he is a fierce competitor, and he has impressed me with the focus and the preparation, the time he puts into getting ready for opponents.
Well, I assume you have a very hungry Alt McCaskill at running back because, I watched him back when he played at Houston, highly recruited guy, big expectations, you know, injuries over the years, has bounced around. First of all, how'd you get him and how did you think he looked in game one?
Yeah, it's a mystery how we got all 55 of them here. I mean, Alton was just looking for an opportunity, and we really felt like we needed to put some time into, you know, pursuing an every down back. That's what he is. And he has some speed, which, you know, you saw on Saturday. So it was a good opening game for him, and we're looking forward to watching him develop as each week goes by.
What do you know about Dan Mullen and what he runs?
Oh, I know about Dan Mullen very much. So I've coached against him twice. I have a tremendous amount of respect for Dan. I don't know if he knows me personally. He just knows me from coaching against me at Ole Miss. But I think he's one of the better guys in the business, and I have a lot of respect for him. I told our players today it's going to be a well-coached team. It's going to be a hard-nosed defense. That's typically very characteristic of his teams. And I know we have to fully prepare, you know, and we got to be ready for anything when it comes to some of the things that I've seen him do in the past. So you know, I know you're supposed to love up your opponent, but I truly do have a lot of
this quarterback mix for UNLV. They split reps 58-15 with Anthony Calandre in from Virginia and Alex Orgie in from Michigan, but a Texas guy. What'd you see on film from the quarterbacks?
Just talking to our defensive staff and knowing I recruited some guys around Orgie's class. Know that have met that family. Might have recruited his brother for a little while. So I was a really good friend of Orgie's high school coach. So I know how athletic he is. You know, I know how gifted and talented he is. And then, you know, Kalani was in the ACC for a little while, and he's talented in his own right. So there's two guys that are huge concerns. I have no idea. We have no idea whether they're going to split time with him or it's going to be an 80-20 deal or just it'll be one guy that we see. But I think just we respect both of them. I think we feel like both of them are weapons. And so we're for the most part, going to prepare for them the same way and we respect them the same way. So I don't know that we're going to see either one differently than the other.
So give me your read on week one for you guys on defense. You were awesome a year ago, but you lost a lot of players. What do you guys do to improve on defense as the season moves along?
You know, it's kind of coaches speak here, but the truth is we want to continue to improve on tackling. And I think third down is a big emphasis for us this week, you know, based on how we performed on third down last week on both sides of football. And that's not something UNLV won't know or anybody else who watched the game or looks at statistics. That was the difference in the ball game to us. And so obviously that's an area that we've got to get fixed, get right before we kick off with UNLV.
Last thing, Coach, and we're talking to Phil Longo, last couple things. He's head coach at Sam Houston. I mean, you're coaching for, you know, at Power Four for a long time, some high-profile jobs. Why take this job at Sam Houston? What were the positives?
That's a great question. I would say that there's been some opportunities in the past, but I just there's nothing that ever came open that was presented to me that just got me fired up. And I always felt like it just had to be the right fit for me. You know, they're going through a transition, which is obviously, you know, transitions from FCS to FBS, that's a 5-year deal. And we talk about, hey, they made the transition 2 years ago, but really all we did was move to C2V. And, you know, right now we're in the hump year. We're in the third year of a 5-year deal, and it's a process. So I thought that if I was going to come back to Sam Houston, it would be as a head coach. I thought there would have to be an FBS school to do so. I didn't think that was going to happen, so I didn't really expect to come back here, but I wanted to. But this job came open at the right time. Whether I was still at Wisconsin or not, I think I would have wound up taking the head job here. My family and I had a wonderful experience. We've got many friends, close friends. Some we consider family here. We got a lot of them. It's the only place I've ever moved on from. You know, when you leave and you go to another job, you don't have time. You don't have time to get back to the old place. And back here and made it back here numerous times, friendships and relationships. So to be able to come back here and work with all these people that I know so well and work in a program that has a huge tradition and a high standard, I couldn't for the 5 days after this job opened stop thinking about this thing. And so I kind of backed out of an NFL spot, came out here and interviewed, and the rest is history. So we're gonna try to build this thing the right way.
How much of a lifestyle adjustment has it been for you? I assume Huntsville, Texas is a little bit different than Seaside and Bayville in New Jersey.
So the warmer weather I love, you know, we had most of that in Jersey. We have a struggle with the winter, but it's nothing major. Wisconsin was definitely a culture shock. But I have a lot of family in Texas. I have family in West Plano and Frisco and down here in the Houston area and Katy and Sugar Land. I've recruited this state for 28 years. There's two states in this country I can get to anywhere without a GPS, and that's Jersey, where I grew up, in the state of Texas. I probably feel more at home here than I do in Jersey even. And so this was like coming home for my wife and I, and we'd like to make it a stay for the long haul.
Coach, I appreciate the time. We'll see you on Friday. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Have a good one.
There he is, Phil Longo, just like Dan Mullen. First year with the program, Sam Houston State. Sam Houston State is the opponent for UNLV on the road. We'll have the Ted Wiens pregame show on Friday following Cofield and Company at 5:30. And then the kickoff is 6:30, which means what? In the central time zone, it's 8:30. So kind of a late start for Sam Houston. It'll be fine for the Rebels, but right now the spread is at 10.5 and expecting at least a good run attack, although Coach Longo said his guy can throw too. Hunter Watson made some nice passes, but right now both teams defensively looking at this and are like, we got to freaking tighten things up because that was way too much. I think 401 yards passing allowed by Sam Houston in game number one, and we know the Rebels' defense against Idaho State gave up 555 total yards. If you want to bet the game, get on down to Boomer Sportsbook, two locations, Casino Valle Verde and Ellis Island, Nevada's only independent sportsbook. First deposit match. They'll do it up to $250. They're offering minus 105 on all pro football spreads throughout the regular season. Bet with Boomer. Look up Bet with Boomer on social. Bet with Boomer to get the betting app. They do have a betting app. It's Boomer Sportsbook. And remember, Ellis Island is the home of Cofield & Company on Monday nights. First Monday night football game. We'll be out there throughout the season with the live show 3 to 6. And then we stay around and party with you and give out cool prizes. And it's a fun time. Front yard inside Ellis Island for Monday night football.
Cofield & Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Okay, do we hit yoga or National Dog Day? Your choice. Time is short.
Yoga.
What's going on with yoga?
I'm really sore. And I think that I might have to switch things up, Steve, and it's National Yoga Day, so I would figure maybe I'll try a little yoga because, Griffin, you might appreciate this. Do you ever find people online and then it sticks and then you try some of the stuff that you see their programs and then all of a sudden it's like, holy smokes.
My favorite thing is to I always get little workouts online on TikToks. I'll save them. Little motivational videos too. Back, you know, I see a lot of like college football hype videos. Those usually get me going during a workout. So, yeah, definitely feel you on that one.
Well, I found one online today. And since we're on the Italian theme and Italian names, Antonella Nicolacci. I believe that's how you pronounce it.
That's Italian.
I saw her TikTok of these.
Let's have you back off on this whole topic,
of these push-ups. I'm going to send it to you, Griff. I can't wait to put it in action tomorrow morning when I hit the PT joint. I already sent it to the trainer over there. This is my last week in the physical therapy gym. And then I get back to the hardcore next week, mm-hmm. which is kind of good considering the stacked PEDs that I'm on.
What's the PT from your knee?
Just overall body.
You were like still doing rehab.
No. It was a program to open up the muscle fibers, some mobility training with the physical therapist or the private trainer at the physical therapy joint. But anyway, Antonella Nicolacci. So I checked out her IG page, dude. She's got some tremendous workouts and some very impressive. So I highly recommend that you check her out because I was like, but the thing is. With the stuff that I've been doing in a sore, I'm kind of intrigued to whether I can get through it or not, whether I implement it into the PT training or I do it next week with the other stuff. Either way, I'm definitely going to try. But she was...
I'm guessing she's super ugly.
Dang. Wow, she's not. Dang.
That's my point.
Yeah, no, she's...
I figured part of the attraction was...
Well, no, it's not an attraction. She's incredible shape.
Part of the interest, yeah.
Yeah, no, she's incredible. Her body's phenomenal. So, and she's a CPT, and I'm guessing that she's competed... So that's, I mean, obviously, you look at the product, easy turbo. That's you're smacking the wrong part of your body.
That's wrestling.
You've right lost there, yeah. A ton of weight.
A little bit. Yeah, I have not. There's not. I didn't have arms before. Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there,
okay,
dude.
Okay, your choice. National Dog Day or Aaron Boone?
National Dog Day.
National Cat Day is on October 29th, 2025.
Are you going to scold your cat once again and shame this cat?
No, I don't do that.
You're going to say, I love my cats. I wish that I had a dog.
I will never say that. It would be very much tongue-in-cheek. I'm not a dog person because I can't take care of a dog. I'm not that doting.
You love your kitty.
Sometimes.
It's all right.
A little prickly.
You can say it.
A little prickly. We keep buying... it's dog day. We don't talk about cats. Go ahead.
I love my wiener. I just posted Kahlua.
Did you? You put out a picture?
I created a collage on Instagram, and then I downloaded it and I put it up there. So,
By the way, smacking the shoulders and the biceps, that's what Kahlua should be doing.
And part of the dog's, if you look it up, look it up real quick on my timeline. I just, one of the six pictures is the one that you like. Okay. It's the cartoon one where the dog's deadlifting.
I think I'm gonna wait
that yoke to one.
I'm gonna wait a little bit. Might feel that later on, maybe tonight.
Okay.
Well, good for you. This has been a good run. Not that it's going to end anytime soon, but I'm not going to say you needed the dog, but you got the dog. It's really worked out. I'm happy for you.
It's 5:54, 2 hours and 54 minutes. I'm guessing that 54 of the 2:54 we've talked about sports.
No, everything was laced with sports. Sports is the backdrop.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, we're live at Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Griffin, did you have anything else? Justin Watkins will be in. We'll talk to JVT as well. Loaded show. I think there'll be a special guest as well. Exciting stuff. Okay. More on Raiders.